Sirenauts, and welcome to this week's episode of Observations. I'm your host, Sovereign Sire, and I'm brought to you by the good people at JulieLand.com, and of course, the wonderful, the devious, the amazing Mr. Richard Avery.
Yo.
My guest today is Sarah Schaefer. She's been on before, and now she's here again. Say hello, Sarah.
Hi, guys. So glad to be back. They brought me back. Exactly. I did so well on the first one.
You made all the numbers.
You really hit our targets. Yeah.
You exceeded
1 million new subscribers.
Yeah.
Just because of that episode.
In every way that we could quantify you with the with a numeric metric,
yeah.
you excelled.
That's good.
So today, I thought we would talk about a topic. We would talk about. I don't know how I would phrase this. I guess I would call it debt.
Debt.
Debt. Mm-hmm. But
money.
When I was watching the many things of you, I saw the Modern Comedian mm-hmm. episode where you were talking yeah. about debt, and I was really moved by it because nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
But one of my earliest memories from childhood is my mom, like bouncing a check and like knowing she was doing it,
yeah.
and like getting this first idea of like debt. Like, this is just something that everyone does.
Yeah.
Like, kind of.
I was in close to $60,000 in debt. It really started when, it was sort of a snowball of my mom died and then I got divorced and I had just trauma in my life mm-hmm. plus living alone for the first time and changing jobs. The job didn't pay as much as my previous job.
Uh-huh.
It was like less money was coming in and more money was going out. Plus I had severe emotional trauma happening where I was, I'm someone who turns to spending money to comfort, mm-hmm. as opposed to drugs or yeah. Hands are being raised. shopping is something that brings me comfort and, I'm so different now. Mm-hmm. But at that time I would just
kind of grew up.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, I grew up during that. Yeah. My therapist at the time was always like, you're growing up. That's what this is. And I'm like, I thought I was a grown up and I wasn't because I hadn't lived through something like that.
Yeah.
And I think you just, there's just another angle to your life once you've been through something very traumatic.
Exactly.
And I was learning how to be alone, which I'd never done before, because I was with that guy for mm-hmm. since I was 19. So,
what is it about like shopping that like why was that comforting to you? Did you ever figure that out?
It was a feeling of like I'm doing well, and I got it from my parents. My parents had really major problems with mm-hmm. money. My dad got in a big old pile of mess with money, illegal things. Like I don't want to reveal too much because my family is not comfortable with that,
uh-huh.
but he got us into a whole big mess of trouble. And then my mom was someone who previous to that, she was a housewife, you know, that we were just very classic new rich, you know, mm-hmm. like, in the suburbs of Virginia, like they had Porsches. My mom had fur coats and diamonds and she was just like this classic 80s suburban housewife. And then everything kind of fell apart and we had to rebuild our lives. And, mm-hmm. But that's when, you know, we had a chance to change and we did as a family. I'm saying I was 12. Like, this is like not my fault, not my problem.
Right.
You had to cut back on ice cream and cookies.
Yeah. We had to move. We had, you know, things were different. But those tendencies still existed in my family of like where there was a connection between emotion and buying things,
right.
That buying something for someone makes you feel better. Like we still talk about it. Like when we would get sick, when I was little, my mom would buy us a toy when we went to go get the medicine at the drugstore. And I would, and for a while, me and my little sister were getting pound puppies. That was like a toy back in that. You might be too young for pound puppies, but pound puppies were before Beanie Babies. Like this is like,
I remember them
in the '80s. And so we would go get a pound puppy when we were sick and it made us feel better. And, now we joke anytime anything goes wrong in my family, we're like, I need a pound puppy. And it's a metaphor for and then you go out and buy a dress, you know, that's like $300. Like, and that is your pound puppy now.
It's like, I'm like inside, like your $300 dress, like, like everything in me just like tensed up. Yeah. Like my asshole's winking right now.
It's why?
Like,
because you would never do that, or because?
Oh my God, no.
She does.
No. See, I've been cursed with taste, and not that you don't have taste, but that I have expensive taste.
Yeah.
And no, I do too. I just don't have anything.
I'll go to Barney's. I can't afford anything in Barney's even, yeah. You know, now, and I'm doing okay, but like, and I will just touch things in Barney's as my thrill and leave. And I, you know, but there was a time where I was up financially, you know, and like, and I was starting to like in New York, I mean, like, God, you walk around, there's these boutiques, you go in, you're like, I want this sweater.
Yeah. And it's like so
expensive. Stuff is so expensive. And, it all snowballed out of control. And, I suddenly found myself in a position where, and this was credit card debt plus I had old student loans that were just, you know, I was just ticking away at those. You tick away at student loans for like 20 years. And I don't even count that as debt, which is sad. And then, you know, my parents had never helped me, but my dad, because they didn't have it, you know, by the time I was that age, I couldn't ask my parents for money. But then when I went through the divorce, my dad lent me some money. And I was like trying to pay him back. And so I had a lot of money that I owed to all kinds of different places. Right. And luckily I never got behind on credit card. I never got where it was like where things were really dire or like there was things being shut off. I never got to that point, but every month was so stressful. I mean, this is when I was working at Fallon and people were like, oh, you work at Fallon, you have an Emmy, like you've made it. And I'm like, yeah. I am hanging by a thread. Like all it takes is one thing every month. And I'm, you know, cause that's the thing. I didn't have any savings or anything. I was just trying to keep I was spending over $1,000 a month just to keep the debt
right.
from becoming
delinquent.
But were you also part of the problem where you were buying the sweater and things like that, as opposed to paying the
bill? Part of the huge amount of the debt came from literally not being able to afford my apartment after breaking up with my husband.
Yeah.
I was living alone for the first time and didn't fully, I just was like, I've always made it work, I'll be fine. And didn't like really do the math, because I had just also gotten a new job. And so I didn't do the math and be like, what's my budget? Like I didn't even do it. I was like, well, this is where I want to live, because emotionally right now I need somewhere that I feel safe and at home. Yeah. And I don't want a roommate because I need to live alone for the first time in my life. Like there were just a lot of choices I made that were about my emotional like stability as opposed to my financial stability. And so I did a lot of, and I was like, I've never had a nice TV. I'm getting a nice TV. Like there were things like that I just made a lot of choices that snowballed.
Yeah. But the fact
I had a boyfriend that was like that, where it's like, he'd have nothing. And like after we broke up, I've always been the one to support. I've always like financially supported my significant other.
Me too.
I've never had debt. I just bought a new car. That's why I was saying like, oh, like it was the first time that I went to go make my first car payment. Mm. And it shows you how much you owe. And I was like, it was a weird feeling because I've never owed anyone money before, like ever.
Yeah,
he would be like, yeah. Can I just borrow like $20? I just want to like go get a tan or like. But it'd be this thing of like, I was like, if you don't have any money and you need $20, you should probably not be spending it
right.
on like a cosmetic thing. Like,
I will say immediately when the debt got that big, I stopped. You know, I didn't, because I couldn't. I couldn't buy anything else. You know, I physically did not have the credit line anymore. But I think one of the reasons I learned very quickly when I put out that Modern Comedian episode of why people don't talk about this stuff. And I mean, I was so secretive about it. Yeah. Like I didn't want anyone knowing because I was so embarrassed. And I would all these crazy things. Well, I'd have to, can I pay you next week? So, because it was always shifting sand around in a sandbox to try and make everything stay afloat. And it was so stressful. I felt like I was drowning. But one of the reasons that people don't talk about it a lot is because you get shamed. And when I put that out, I got so many comments and messages like, so condescending and so cruel. Like you need education, you know, you just need to learn, you know, you need, or, you know, I would never be in debt. You know, it's all this superiority. And I'm like, have you ever been through what I've been through? Because, you know, maybe you've been lucky enough where you've had that kind of safety net your whole life where things didn't fall apart for you. I don't know what your life is.
Right.
And maybe when you have that shit go down, you'll become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you deal with things the way you deal with things. I got out of the debt.
You survived, though.
I survived.
And you learned.
Well, I mean, like, the reason I've never taken out, like, cards or anything is because my mom, like, watching her go through it and like, watching someone just, like, in
it
a
is
constant
so
state of anxiety, just so stressed out.
I'll never go there again.
Like,
I never,
yeah, and it's like,
I
just live in utter terror of, like, being in that same position where it's like, I'm having my kids, like, help me, like, you know, it's like, pass out bounce checks and, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like these things that we, like, she would turn into a game, but it was, like, to survive because she was a single mom, two kids, like, so, you know what I mean? It was, like, financially.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she was in the same place you were, like, that kind of emotionally, like.
Yeah, and you get stuck. You know, and then thank God if I hadn't gotten the show at MTV, I would not have been able to, because what I needed was a magic wand. I needed a windfall, because once you're stuck in it, it's so incredibly hard to get out. And I now understand credit card companies are just not in it for you. I mean, they are not helpful. They will do the most subtle things to make it harder for you. You know, like, they've changed it now, but for a while they're, the main credit card debt I had was on this, like, Capital One card, and they didn't have auto pay. And, like, I would forget, or, you know, like, whatever it was. And, like, then suddenly they're like, oh, you were one day late. Your percentage just went up. And then my payment went up, you know? And it was like, well, I wasn't, oh, why can't you just have this thing? You know, and maybe, and people are like, well, you just need to be on top of it, Sarah. And I'm like, you don't understand these companies. They understand the psychology of someone like me, and they take advantage of it.
Totally.
You know, this credit card I got the day I got to college, they were handing out t-shirts and I wanted a t-shirt. So I signed up for a credit card, you know, and then I didn't spend anything on it.
Yeah.
And then when I realized, I was like, I have $12,000 at my disposal here and I need that. So I would just go into a robotic mode of don't think about it.
Yeah.
Don't look at the balance. Don't look at your bank account, because I was in denial. And that is, you know, when you see anything about financial ruin, you know, they're
totally.
You go into a denial, and looking at it is the best way, even as terrifying as it is the best way to get a handle on it.
I'll tell you my little short version of a long story, basically.
Uh-huh.
I grew up with a family that was beyond below middle class, below. And my dad's businesses, he filed bankruptcy twice when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so I always tell people I have issues with money for many, many years.
Yeah.
Probably up, not even until the last 5 years I've gotten over it. Mm-hmm. But it was, like, a lot about all the things you're saying I totally relate to.
Yeah.
And I always remember, like, when I decided to be a photographer, I had to live off of credit cards for 2 years.
Yeah.
80 some odd thousand dollars later I owed. Filed bankruptcy, got rid of it. It was easy. Start all over again.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I met my business manager, who was basically my mom for 25 mm-hmm. years. And I met mm-hmm. her, and she says to me, first meeting, bring all your credit cards, bring all your information. I hand her my stack of credit cards. She looks at them. She goes, ah, that's really cute. You got a good stack there. I mean, my Macy's card, my mm-hmm. you name it, I had the card for it. Took them all. Here's one credit card.
Yeah.
That's all you
all
get.
All that stuff.
That's it.
Yeah,
you're done. You get an allowance, $100 mm-hmm. a week. What? I take everything. And it was like she treated me like a 5-year-old and said, this is how it's going to be. And it was 25 years. It took me 25 years to understand basically living within your means.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually written blog post about this on
about
a lot about this kind of stuff. It's about, you know, you don't, you got to ask yourself, do you want or need? Do I want it or do I need it?
I still
but do you think too about like
it?
Consumer culture too, though? I mean, it's like, it's, I know for me, like, people will always joke about this in porn. They'll always talk about girls with their Louis Vuitton bags that are empty and their Louis Vuitton shoes. And it's like, and it's easy to make fun of porn girls, but I get it, because it's like you're 21 years old and you're being handed, like, you know, thousands of dollars a day.
And they think it's not going to end.
And you've never had a regular job, and you don't foresee that this will ever go away.
This is my
life now. That you'll ever get tired, that you'll ever not want to go to work.
This is the level I'm at. You know, it's a status thing.
Yeah, and so it's like, you just see like Louis Vuitton shoes, Louis Vuitton bags, and it's like, but where are you taking all that shit? Oh, you're going to go to Paris now. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But like, you know, and then like say there's an HIV scare or something like that, and like production has to shut down for 2 weeks while they figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And you'll see girls saying like, I have no money, I'm broke. Well, and it's like, and you're just thinking like, you're going like, man, you, like that's crazy.
You've heard me say this, and I ask this of all my girls all the time. I ask, I mean, I have lots of porn star friends. I have lots of rock star friends. I always tell people, the porn star girls, I say to them straight up, how long have you been in the business? 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. How much money do you have in the savings account? About $1,000. I go, yeah. So you've been doing this for fucking 5 years for $1,000? Are you kidding me? And I, yeah. It pisses me off. And then I start, I'm helping two girls right now. I'm basically taking getting their act together, their lives together, so they have something, some money.
Yeah, because it's like you, things change and it doesn't life
last.
Changes,
yeah, it doesn't last forever. Yeah. I used to make shitloads of money 10 years ago. I don't make that money anymore. I make less now than I made when I was 21.
No, I went through the MTV show was a really big payday for me. And I had to spend a lot of that money on paying my debt off, which was such a great feeling. I mean, it was just phenomenal to do that. And then I had a great savings account, come out to LA, and a year later, it's almost all gone. Yeah. Because, I mean, I was like, I am living in an apartment that makes me feel like a god. And I am not going to, but that's what I do. I like kind of live up. Like just a little bit. I don't go where it's like now. I now know don't go crazy.
You know, is it the old line? Champagne tastes with a beer budget. Yeah. Champagne tastes with a milk budget.
Yeah. Kind of thing? You know, we are at the top of our budget for this apartment, but it's an apartment we'll live in for. It'll work for us for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And it will still feel luxurious 5 years from now. It's not too crazy. I mean, if I had this apartment in New York, it would be like so insanely expensive. But I was like, it's LA. I want to get something nice.
You know, I want some room.
It's like, yeah. So I have room. I have those things. And then I had a really, really slow year last year. And I was just hemorrhaging those savings. Made it through, got work, and now it's fine. And, you know, but there was a moment where I was like, if I hadn't had that great apartment, I honestly would have sunk into an even worse depression than I was in because I wouldn't have felt comfortable. I'm just somebody who needs certain things to feel like it's okay. Everything's okay.
Right. Yeah, it's part of like, where else are you working so hard for what? Crap? You're working hard to have
these
things.
And that's what, you know.
If you're going to sit, I always tell people, if you're going to sit at home on your couch eating ice cream, watching Oprah and bitching and complaining about how life sucks and you have no money and you're not working and everything just sucks, well then fuck you. But if you're going to sit there and bust your ass every minute of every day trying to make things happen, that's okay. I would say I've earned the right to bitch and complain.
Well, right. And that's, you know, I'm someone who, you know, I don't want to be like my parents. I want to have savings. I want to be able to retire. But I also learned from them how to live life and really enjoy life. Right. You know, even when we had nothing, they were like, we're going on vacation.
Yeah.
You know, and they found a way to make it work for us and live spontaneously. Like I just, when I'm around people who can't enjoy the spoils, I'm like, what are you doing? You know, like you can, you know, and they're being, I don't know. I think, it's a very touchy subject, you know, with money and people. Cause like, you know, someone who's doing well and they're like being anal about splitting the check. I'm like, just let me pay for it. If you're going to be like that, you know, like, I think those types of things.
There's
a
balance of, as my business manager always say, is like living within your means, you know, having a good time. She used to always tell me, you can do all this. You can have a good time. You can, you know, live and you can pay your bills. You could save money. You could do all this. She goes, it's doable, but it just takes discipline and it takes, like you say, doing the math. Because my motto for many years was play first and pay later.
Yeah, me
too. I'm going off to New York to see
I'll grow into this.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Australia for a month. Yeah. I'm going to have a good time. I'll pay the bills when I get back. I'll get a couple jobs to pay. You know, she just stopped. Earn the money first, then go do the fun. And it took me 25 years to learn. And it's just all I say to people all the time is I've literally written about this stuff is just living within your means, thinking about things and just realizing it. Nothing is forever. You might be making $20,000 a month, but you know, that's not going to be forever.
No. And then you have, it's not going to be forever. I mean, that's what I want to, you know, I just think it's unfair to refer to people as, if you're listening to this and you're like, God, this girl sounds dumb. I just think that's really stupid of that person. I'm not calling you dumb, but like, I just think that.
Have you ever watched Kitchen Nightmares?
Oh,
do you ever see those people? Yeah. They go like, how long have you been in business for? I've been running this restaurant for 5 years. I owe $500,000. You're like, at what point did you realize this restaurant's not working? Like,
right.
Really?
I mean, you know, I think it's have some
You are
compassion.
Nothing compared to people right. I know, just so you know.
Right. I mean, that people, nothing. I never got into where I was being repoed, you know, like I didn't get to those points, but I, you know, I was close, you know, it was every month it could have easily gone that way.
Yeah.
And I don't want to live like that again, but I just think when people get really judgy and up on their high horse, you know, I'm just like,
no.
You know, live through some stuff and then tell me how it feels.
Exactly.
And like, you know, if that's what makes you feel powerful by being, you know, really good with money, then good. But, you know, what makes me feel powerful isn't that. So I haven't honed those skills.
Yeah.
You know, like being rich is not what I'm concerned with. Although I want a nice life. Hell do I want a nice life.
Yeah,
but
when you're growing up, I always tell people, when you're growing up as a kid, your parents didn't sit down with you and teach you how to balance a checkbook or teach you how to spend money and budget money.
I think like
you
even in
you don't
school,
learn
it's
in
like
school.
No one
on
ever.
The SATs?
Yeah, exactly.
APR is not something that there's a question on the
you
SATs.
Get out of, you go to off to college with like no idea about money and all of a sudden you get offered a credit card. $12,000? Yeah. I'll fucking take it. That's what I did. And it's like you said, like you never were into that position. All of a sudden now you have a car payment and you have this car thing. And now you have to kind of go, wow, how do I deal with all this? Just the emotional side of it, not just the money side of it.
Well, it's just like knowing like, oh, I'm accountable for this amount of like, okay, like that's a new feeling. Like,
I think I wish I was more afraid of it, you know, like, but yeah, I think it comes with age of learning not to be short-sighted.
Right.
And thinking of those rainy days and preparing for them, but not constricting your life. So the balance, it's the balance.
Yeah.
Don't constrict your life so much that you're literally a miserable person,
right?
But you have a pile of money that you're sitting on that you refuse to spend.
Right.
I have known many people like that, and I don't.
So do I.
I don't understand those people.
I just feel like it's about just living within your means and doing the math and being smart about it all. Mm-hmm. I tell girls this all the time, just to be smart. You know, do you really need that stuff? And be smart. If you do want a Louis Vuitton bag, go get your boyfriend to buy it for you. Yeah. That's being smart.
Yeah. I got past that. I got the shopping is not a thing for me anymore. I do love, I'll get an itch and I'll be like, ooh, I want to go shopping. I'm going to do it. But now it's literally Target, you know, like I'll do that because I know
it's manageable.
That's manageable. I could buy 18 things in Target and it'll be fine. It'll be $200 as opposed
more
to $1,000.
Yeah, more, you know? like more bang for your buck.
Yeah, and you know, one day I'll get back to it. You know, and I remember when we had the MTV show, I couldn't spend any of that money in the beginning because I was just trying to pay down the debt.
Right.
And I was like, if we get a second season, I get to do this. And that would be the reward. Or if we get a third, I remember for the third season, it was gonna be my first that type of purchase. I was going to buy a Burberry coat. You know, and never, it's on my phone still, the picture of it. Like one day.
I just think of like, and the show gets canceled and you're like, everybody's upset that they don't have a job. And you're just like, I'm upset because I don't get my coat.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care about the job. I didn't like it anyways.
You know?
I didn't like you people.
How long did it take you to pay down the debt? Like when you,
well, it took a while because, you know, whenever you get, this is the thing that I learned too about this business is like, all right, I got a show. Oh, it's not starting for 6 months. Oh, and it's going to take MTV forever to figure out how to put the money into my account, you know? And so it took a while to like get it down. But once, you know, because producing, writing and starring in your own show is a good deal. I mean, it's good money. So once we did the first season, you know, it was like, I got out of the debt almost completely with first season money. Because I also had like, you know, my living expenses and, you know, and you pay off all your lawyer and your da da da. It's never as much as you think it's going to be, but it was enough. And I got out of it and then, and you know, I've realized like once you're on a show, then you get to do, I mean, I wasn't doing a lot, but I got a few like commercial type things. And then you get that money and like,
right.
You know, one thing snowballs into another, but the moment the show's over, that stuff stops, you know, like I was like, okay.
And you still haven't gotten that coat though?
Haven't gotten the coat. No, I'm waiting. I've been, I mean, moving here was expensive. Moving is expensive. So that's what I spent money ridiculous. On. You know, I was like, I want a nice bed. I've never had a nice bed. I'm getting a nice bed. But then the rest, you know, then I balanced it. I was like, okay, well, half the apartment's going to be from IKEA. But we'll get a couple nice things and the rest will be from flea markets and IKEA and we'll figure it out later, you know?
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah. I'm the person that sits on the pile of money. I started.
Old are you now? Or do you not want to reveal?
I can reveal it. I'm 35.
Really? Mm-hmm. You do not see it. I'm 36. Yay. I was like, you're so much younger than me. I said that earlier. You don't know what pound puppies are.
But I just started saving money in like January and I have like $10,000 in my savings account.
That's good.
So, buying me lunch today?
Ooh. You know what I say though? Try to get it as high as you can and then in your mind have an amount like I'm just going to treat myself to something.
Right.
Once in a while, you got to have a treat.
That's what I'm training Nikki right now. This girl, Nikki, mm-hmm. next with us. I'm doing the same exact thing with her. I told her, you're going to get to this number first, and then you're going to get to this number, and then you're going to reward yourself. And she's doing it. She's busting her ass, and she's just got a new apartment. And I said, go, you can spend money in a bed, but you don't need a couch.
Yeah, things like that. It's like, you know, what will greatly improve my quality of life? Yeah. That's the question you have to ask. Like, is a Louis Vuitton bag, it might improve the quality of your life. That might make you feel valuable. And God bless you if that's what you need. But I think that's when I've always come down to it. Is this really going to make my life better?
I've always just used the question need and want. Do you need it or do you want it? And I know what I need and I know what I want. I always tell people, like, I get that. But I just feel like you needed a new car, so you got to invest in a good car.
Yeah.
And you want something that's going to not break down every 10 minutes and cause you grief.
Right.
So getting a good car.
But like, it took me 3 months. Like, I totaled my car on Christmas Eve, and it took me, and I bought a new car April 10th. So it took me that long to
take the plunge,
to like brace myself.
Oh my God. Like, I would be on Christmas Day at the dealership.
Who wants to buy a Porsche?
You know, like, might as well upgrade.
I bought a very tasteful Grabber Blue 2014 Mustang.
Ooh.
I do like my car.
That's great.
And so it is cool. Cause
you
and
didn't
it,
go,
and it was a thing of like,
you
of like,
bought something that was... that makes you feel
good. I love my car. Like, yeah. I go, and that was the advice I got from someone most cars are the same. So if you're gonna make a payment on something every month, like go make it something that you love to look at every day when you walk out there,
and that the dudes will dig you in.
I feel pretty snazzy in my car. I was at the dog park the other day, and there was this dark, broody, like rock star guy that's always at the dog park, and like he finally talked to me yesterday, and he walked up to me, and he's like, "Really like your car."
I'm like, see that?
Yeah,
I like that.
Knocking lots of bitches with that car.
See, what you're supposed to say what you were supposed to respond was, so you want to check out the back seat?
I'm so bad at that. I'm so shy. I'm like, huh,
see
thank
my
you.
CD collection? Remember that old trick?
Hey, want to listen to some cassettes at my house?
Oh my God. What do they do now? What do the kids
say? Hey, you want to come listen to my digital downloads?
I think I got a guy in my, like, I had like a brief crazy sexual singledom heyday after my divorce. A year and a half of wildness. And not that I'm not still wild, but I'm in a relationship being wild. But, and a guy actually got me into his room with, there's this YouTube video
I think it's like, oh, you gotta check out this YouTube video.
And then I was completely blindsided because it was a party, and I was trying to get another guy there. And this guy who was actually more attractive than the other guy. So that's why I was so unprepared, because I was like, this guy will never want me. I'm going to go for this other guy. And he's like, do you want to see this YouTube video? And like before he even pulls it up, he started kissing me. And I was like, oh my God. Yay. I got tricked.
Oh my God. I'm being raped.
No, I'm into it. I was like, oh, he thinks I'm pretty. Like I'm this guy. And it was so fun.
That's today's technology.
Yeah.
Back in my day, it was an 8-track tape.
Oh, man. That was like the past.
That was some time ago.
Well, thank you for coming back and talking to us
about
your deep, dark debts and everything.
Hopefully, that will never happen again.
Hopefully not. That's really scary. It's like really, really scary debt. Scary. Like,
it was terrible. But, you know, I was probably on a one-way, like, ticket to that happening at some point until I had to learn the hard way with right. that.
Yeah.
I had to hit a bottom.
Yeah.
Or otherwise I wouldn't have learned.
Right. So, well, at least I'm you learned it happened like and a that, small lesson instead of like.
Right. And it wasn't catastrophic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell everyone where they can find you?
Yes. You find me on Twitter, Sarah Schaefer 1.
There can be only one.
Why there's the one. I actually joined before Sarah Schaefer. I joined Twitter when it was so young that I didn't think it mattered. And I just used my AOL name.
Oh.
I know. That's.
And what's their website?
Sarah Schaefer 1. SarahSchaefer.com. Check it out.
And you have a new comedy album?
Comedy album, yeah. You can check it out on iTunes or Amazon.com.
What's it called?
Chrysalis.
All right.
It's about transformation.
And I squirting. Like the part about squirting. Yeah. I was going to talk to you about that, but we don't have time.
We don't have time. Maybe all right. Another time.
Bye, everybody. This bye, is guys. Sovereign. You can find me at ilovesov.com and you can also find me on Twitter @SovereignSire. Bye-bye. Bye.